Good morning, and welcome to our church family here at St. Linus. We extend a warm welcome to you and to our visitors as we worship together today on the 22nd Sunday of Ordinary Time. Our announcements for this week: this Friday is First Friday, and we will be having a day-long adoration after the 8:30 Mass in the morning and close with a 7 p.m. Holy Hour. Sign-up is in the narthex, please. Do what you can to spend some time with the Lord. Would you like to partake in helping out our festival this year? If so, we have just the treat for you. Festival sign-ups will be after all masses this weekend outside the church. So please stop by and donate some time for this fun-filled weekend. Please read the St. Vincent de Paul insert in this week's bulletin and consider supporting the Friends of the Poor Walk on Saturday, September 26th at Madonna University. Please see page 3 in the bulletin for the meetings this week. Now, please stand and join us in prayer and song.
We'll be singing verses 1, 3, and 4.
As a chalice cast of gold, burnished bright and brimmed with wine, make me, Lord, as fit to hold grace and truth and love divine. Let my praise and worship start with the cleansing of my heart. When I bend upon my knees, clasp my hands or bow my head, let my spoken public pleas be directly, simply said. Free from tangled words that mask what my soul would plainly ask. When I dance or chant your praise, when I sing a song or hymn, when I preach your loving ways, let my heart add its amen. Let each cherished outward rite thus reflect your inward light.
The name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Sometimes the words to the hymns that we sing are a foreshadowing of what is to come, preparing us for what the word spoken will be, and today is a perfect example of that. The readings talk about receiving the word, and that means that our hearts need to be right. Let my actions, Lord, express what, let my praise and worship start with the cleansing of my heart. These words dispose us to enter into the spiritual treasures, the eternal truths, the infinite mercy that God makes available to us here today. And as always, we prepare ourselves to give ourselves truly and these actions by examining our hearts, our conscience, acknowledging our sins, so that we might run to the throne of grace to receive the forgiveness and mercy and help we need. Father, for the times that we have let in other loves, greater loves than you, Lord, have mercy. Jesus, for the times that we have not loved others as you have loved us, especially those we find difficult to love, with whom our patience is short, Christ, have mercy. Holy Spirit, help from heaven. Enkindle in us the fire of God's love. Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. You are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, every good thing comes from you. Fill our hearts with love for you, increase our faith, and by your constant care protect the good you have given us. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Before our first reading, I forgot for the last couple of weeks, I want to acknowledge and welcome those who are with us at home. It's always good to have you with us. If you haven't been outside, it's one of the coldest August mornings you're going to see in a long time, isn't it? It's amazing. I don't remember 2 weeks before the festival that I'm praying that it warm up.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "Now, Israel, hear the statutes and decrees which I am teaching you to observe, that you may live and may enter in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. In your observance of the commandments of the Lord, your God, which I enjoin upon you, you shall not add to what I command you, nor subtract from it. Observe them carefully, for thus will give you evidence of your wisdom and intelligence to the nations, who will hear of these statutes and say, 'This great nation is truly a wise and intelligent people. For what great nation is there that has God so close to it as the Lord, our God, is to us whenever we call upon him? Or what great nation has statutes and decrees that are as just as the whole law which I am setting before you today?'" The word of the Lord.
Justice will live in the presence of God. They who do justice will live in the presence of God. They who do justice will live in the presence of God. They who do justice will live in the presence of God. Of God. They who do justice will live in the presence of God. Who harm not another, nor take up reproach to their neighbor. servants of God. They who do justice will live in the presence of God. Who show no condition in sharing the gifts of their treasure. Of God. They who do justice will live in the presence of God.
A reading from the letter of St. James. Dearest brothers and sisters, all good giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no alteration or shadow caused by change. He willed to give us birth by the word of truth, that we may be of first fruits of his creatures. Humbly welcome the word that has been planted in you and is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained by the world. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Son, alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When the Pharisees with some scribes had come from Jerusalem, gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders. And on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed: the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and scribes questioned him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands. Jesus responded, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites? As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts. You disregard God's commandments, but cling to human tradition." He summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person, but the things that come out from within are what defile. From within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile." The Gospel of the Lord. Have you heard of the term cafeteria Catholic? It's not a Catholic who eats lunch at a cafeteria. It is a term used by some to describe a, unfortunately, common enough attitude among Catholics. What do you do at a cafeteria? Well, I'll take some of that. I'm going to skip that. And I'll take two of those. You make your selections according to your own preferences or how you feel that day. A cafeteria Catholic will pick and choose the parts of the creed, parts of the commandments, part of authoritative Catholic tradition. They'll pick the parts that they prefer that day. We live, and this is the word for the day, okay? We live in an antinomian age. That word used to be more commonly used. Antinomian, it's one of those like Latin things. Means lawless, without benefit of restraint. We live in a lawless age. The people of Israel were often this way. One of the refrains in the Old Testament that the writers would use, sometimes prophets would use, would describe the people of Israel when they got into big trouble, when they were very displeasing to God. The phrase that was used again and again is, became a refrain. They did what was right in their own eyes. Hey, these days, that'd be a compliment. I mean, what else can you do? But it wasn't a compliment, and there is something else to do. And that is believe what God has says. I had this disease bad growing up. For me, it was kind of a game. See how much you could get away with. Unfortunately, I was in a Catholic school where the nuns were older, and they kind of were susceptible to all kinds of games like this. You know, when the teacher went away, when her back was turned, what could you do? What could you get away with? Part of it, I remember, that kind of captures my attitude is you had to wear a tie, dress code. Okay, so then you try and unbutton your collar. And then we went for the fake ties. And then we went to the string ties with an open collar. And then a string tie with the emblem down at the bottom. Anything to push the boundary. Now, that's a small, silly example, but it captures an attitude. What can we get away with? I had 2 warnings from cops for speeding before I was 16. My attitude was, in some ways I was conscious of it, in some ways I wasn't. I just didn't want anybody else telling me what to do. Shortly after my conversion, I was 19, second year of college. I can remember reading something that challenged me. Now, this is already after I had made a response to Jesus and experienced his grace, but good Lord, I still had a ways to go. Remember reading somebody saying something, saying that something could be wrong. Something could be wrong even if the person thought it was right. It's basic Christian teaching, but it certainly clashed with my modern mentality. What do you mean? I thought it was right. I would be a rich man if I had a dollar for every time somebody said to me in response to some item of Christian truth, well, that's true for you. As truth was as changeable, as malleable as flavors of ice cream. I know that I needed to make a fundamental change. I needed to accept an authority outside of myself and then to adjust myself accordingly. I've made the fundamental change. Now, I'm not saying I always respond perfectly, but now my thinking about what is true is primarily formed by what God has revealed. There are things that rub our culture and our world, the modern antinomian mentality, the wrong way. The uniqueness and necessity of Jesus as Savior, the unique claims of the Catholic Church, personal morality. Now, this issue is the themes of all of our readings today. Moses says, In a solemn gathering of Israel, now Israel, hear the statutes and decrees which I am teaching you to observe. And this wasn't Moses' personal opinion. It was revealed to Moses by God. Hear the statutes and decrees that you may live. That's what's at stake. Living truly in this life and forever in the next. You shall not add. That's what the Pharisees were doing in the gospel reading to what I command, nor should you subtract from it. That would be the modern preference. For what great nation is there that has God so close as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? In the book of James, we read, And one of the most quotable lines in the book, be doers of the word, not hearers only. What good is it if you just hear it? It doesn't do you any good at all unless you put it into practice. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. He says, deluding yourselves. Now that's the thing to avoid. Deluding ourselves, thinking that hearing it is sufficient, where it doesn't lead to doing what we hear. The gospel is interesting because the Pharisees misunderstood God's teaching. They misunderstood what Jesus and his disciples were doing. They misunderstood the importance of their own human additions because their hearts were wrong. Their thinking was bent because their hearts were not right. And Jesus goes on to say, it's what comes out of us. It's our decisions. It's out of our intentions and motivations that wrong is done. It's not what's out there. We can come in contact with evil. We are supposed to be in the world, but not of it. It doesn't necessarily contaminate us. It's what we do with it when we get it inside. The decisions we make, the intentions we have. And he called them hypocrites, because their intentions was not to hear the undiluted word of God, but to trick Jesus into proving their own delusions. These readings are an opportunity for us to examine our hearts in relation to God's law and doing his will. Have you resolved deep in your hearts, unconditionally, that you want to obey God? It is that intention itself, according to Jesus with the Pharisees, that will affect our understanding of what it is that God presents. Have you resolved unconditionally that you want to obey God? Now, this doesn't mean you have the confidence that you can do it perfectly. Grace and mercy can cover those deficiencies. But is that what you desire to do? Is that what you ask the grace for? Do you ask God for more of what you need to do it? Do you give God the authority to tell you what is right and true? Open your heart. Lord, I receive this from you because you are the source of all that is good and true. Now, here are some areas, I think, with which we struggle. Church, every Sunday? Do I really need to go to confession? How often do you go? Items of sexual morality, premarital relations, same-sex relationships, abortion, artificial contraception. All these are things on which the church authoritatively teaches. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And on these things of which the church speaks infallibly, speaks definitively, it speaks authoritatively and without error. Other things, hot button issues, the uniqueness of Jesus and salvation through his Son. I am the way, the truth, and the life, says the Lord. No one comes to the Father except through me. The infallible teaching authority of the church. Addictive alcohol and drug abuse. These things involve things with which we will struggle. But it's an attitude of our hearts. Are you looking for the truth and the blessing in these things, or to critically find fault? And I think it's fair to say that oftentimes we, the church, God's people, have not always done the best job, the job we need to do in order to articulate the blessing and the goodness in these things that God teaches, especially where they come into mockery and ridicule by our society. Do you give God in your heart permission to persuade you? You want to know the truth more than you want to prove yourself right. Israel, hear the statutes and decrees which I am teaching you so that you may live. Don't delude yourselves. Be doers, not just hearers of the word. And our hearts need to be right to understand the truth that God reveals. We need to let God be God.